Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. I have with me today Kimberly Lexo with Sifted. Welcome, Kimberly.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Sifted. How are you serving folks?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So my co-founder and I started Sifted about 5 years ago with the idea to rethink the office lunch. So originally, she and I used to work at a high-growth tech company. Our CEO was regularly bringing in lunches, and you know, we felt the experience could be a lot better. The food was really mediocre. Someone had to order, check down the lost delivery guy, set up, clean up. The whole office smelled like onions. So we thought, you know, let's do this. So we created Sifted with the idea of being the outsourced chef team to the fastest growing companies. So now we are the daily or weekly lunch provider to companies like Uber, Eventbrite, Twitter, Square, Box, Google, kind of those types of companies. So that's what we were doing up until a couple of weeks ago.
Now, were either of you in the restaurant business or catering business? Did you have a background in food at all?
Not at all. Jess and I definitely, our experience really is on the business side, so sales and marketing. And what she and I just like to do is kind of solve problems. So she tends to look at things from kind of a market perspective. So where is an opportunity? What does the market need? I tend to look at things from like, what are we kind of uniquely qualified to do? And the thing when we looked at our skill set is, you know, we know how to build a brand. We know how to kind of sell one-to-one in a B2B environment. And we're good at identifying, you know, people who can do things that we can't do. So, we did not have any food experience before starting Sifted. And so it has been a real experience. And, you know, early on, just finding talent who had a lot of experience, and just like a lot of understanding of what it, you know, takes to, you know, make food and share it with, kind of a big audience of people was really important.
So now you mentioned that, there, I would imagine, have to be a shift in the business model now that so many people are sheltering at home. How are you handling that kind of challenge?
Yeah, yes, you're right. There has been a big shift. We are exclusively, you know, a lunch provider to companies. So as our companies, as our clients started closing their offices, you know, we realized that there was going to be a major shift in our business. So, you know, over a week's time, we saw our business, you know, go from thriving and growing. We're currently in six cities, Atlanta, Nashville, Austin, the Denver, Boulder area, Seattle, and Phoenix, with about 86 clients. We went to, you know, being very busy with about 200 staff to, in a week's time, every single one of our clients' offices closing and no work for our 200 staff. There was a couple of days there that were really dark and really feeling a lot of responsibility, for, you know, so many people who count on Jess and I for their livelihood and for, you know, a lot of kind of, work purpose, and to not be able to provide for them in that way. And so, over, you know, the course of, about a week and a half, Jess and I just kind of made the decision that we were going to, you know, do our best to create something else out of this. So, last Friday, about a week ago, we launched two other businesses. One is called Sifted Provisions, and it is a grocery delivery service. So, leveraging our existing purveyor relationships, we've assembled these chef-driven grocery packs with, you know, all of your essentials. So, local produce, frozen protein from Revere Meat, grains, legumes, fresh bread, and then kind of kitchen essentials or household essentials like TP and hand soap. And so we've put those packages together, and folks can either, they can order online, and then they could either come to our kitchen for a contactless pickup, where they just text a number and someone from our staff, you know, gloved and with a mask on, will just put it in their trunk. Or they can select delivery, next day delivery, and our staff will bring it to their front porch. So that is Sifted Provisions. Right now it's live, only in the Atlanta area, but we'll roll it out to other cities here in just a bit. The other business is called Sifted Kitchen. And it is, spice blend. So one thing, you know, our chef team is really talented and they make all of our, you know, lunches from scratch. And one thing that we, you know, regularly get, compliments on is the flavor profile. And so we thought, you know, why not sell those spice blends? You know, basically everything that our, lunches are kind of made from. So we turned on, you know, a consumer website last Friday. Where consumers and our, you know, the staff that we normally feed, can, you know, buy this kind of curated collection of our spice blends.
So now when you had to make this kind of a pivot in an urgent kind of state of mind, can you walk us through how were you kind of coming up with ideas and who did you include as part of the team to come up with ideas? Because I think a lot of companies are in a similar space. Mindset, at least in terms of, okay, we have to do something. We can't just sit here and just allow this to happen to us. Let's try to control the things we can control and leverage the things we're good at. So can you walk us through kind of what that all hands on deck meeting was like?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll say kind of the first thing that we realized very early on is that, you know, Jess and I were feeling so much pressure to kind of fix things and to, what we realized is we were, you know, kind of in this pressure cooker to come up with a new idea that was going to totally fill the gap. And when we kind of finally looked at each other and just kind of accepted that, we might not be able to do that. We might not be able to launch a business in a week's time, that scales up to the revenue equal to the business that we, had built over 5 years. And that was a really kind of difficult moment because it was, really kind of looking squarely at the fact that, you know, these ideas might not work. But what it also did was it really released some pressure. And so it allowed for some more creativity. And it allowed us to really start thinking, you know, exactly like you said, really kind of evaluating, our competitive advantages, the resources we had available to us, to kind of find that next product market fit. So I think that, you know, that was kind of the first thing that was really, you know, kind of key for us to move into that creative thinking and that creative space, was really to kind of release some of that pressure and really kind of go back to the root, go back to what it was like to start the business in the first place, which is, you know, it's very messy. The kind of the first idea you have is definitely not the idea it ends up being. It kind of continues and evolves. But to just be okay with experimentation, and be okay with, you know, bringing kind of a big team of people along. So just as you said, that is a big difference. You know, the first time Jess and I started Sifted, it was just the two of us. You know, it was just the two of us for about a year before we started hiring people. In this case, you know, Jess and I came up with these two ideas, you know, late one night. We spent, probably 24 to 48 hours just kind of working on them, just the two of us. So we could kind of get to the place of like an idea that was somewhat, we at least could put some language around, something we could articulate to the team. Because recognizing that while, you know, everybody who works for us has kind of, you know, some appetite for risk because they joined an early stage startup, this also could be a very new experience for a lot of our staff. And so kind of doing our best to work through some of those details in advance before we kind of just said, okay, here's this new thing we're doing. And then, kind of after Jess and I kind of put something together, we then brought, our COO, Abby Henderson, into the loop, and kind of pitched both of the ideas, to her. And she then kind of immediately goes to the place of, okay, well, here's how we do it. And so, you know, Jess and I worked on the what and why. She then brings in the how. And then once we, you know, kind of built the plan a little bit further, then it was time to bring in the rest of our director team. And that consists of our director of culinary, director of marketing, director of people, and director of operations. And so then bringing that team in, and that was a really kind of fun time to really say, you know, okay, we just had this idea. I recognize it's still very early stage, but you all are very good at your thing. So kind of, you know, let's pull this idea apart. Each of you kind of articulate, you know, the ways you can move this forward and get to work. And then they all kind of, you know, after we kind of had that initial conversation, then reached out to their teams and, you know, basically put everybody to work, you know, giving everybody as clear direction as we can. And then, you know, assigning kind of strategy and tasks to each of them. So that's kind of what it has looked like this past week.
Now, that's great that you have that kind of corporate culture where everybody is kind of taking this as we're trying to figure out and problem solve. We're not here to, we want to pick the idea apart in terms of let's find out where the landmines are. But ultimately, we're trying to figure out a way to make this work, not try to figure out a way to make it not work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. And you're reminding me that when, you know, Jess and I first pitched these ideas to the director team, you know, I started by saying, you know, first, we're tired. And these ideas aren't all the way fleshed out. And, there is definitely going to be a lot of room for, you know, challenging these ideas and kind of looking for all of the reasons why it's not going to work. But in this moment, let's start with why it could work. Let's start with kind of the possibility. And I think kind of asking people to kind of shift that mindset. I think, you know, it definitely helped Jess and I as we kind of, you know, initially pitched our ideas to the team, but it also, I think, kind of helped us get a little bit of a momentum because, you know, starting a business under any circumstances is so hard. And it really is so easy to find all of the reasons why a business won't work. And you pretty much talk to anybody and they'll, you know, think of 10 reasons why it won't. It's really hard to think of all of the reasons why it could. And it was very important to us that we kind of stay in that mindset so we could get some momentum over this past week to really, you know, operationalize and launch something.
And it probably feels a lot better from you now that you have a team that can kind of execute this pretty quickly as opposed to when it was just you two and you're like, okay, now this is more stuff for us to do. You know, every kind of idea was your problem. And now you have a team that can kind of help problem solve and help get things done.
It's so true. It's so true. I just feel so grateful for the team that we have. Our director of operations, Brian Droll, he's so smart. And you can kind of give him any problem like, hey, can you start up a grocery business and figure out fulfillment? And can you figure out, you know, how orders are going to be taken, how orders are going to be delivered? And, you know, in 24 hours, he comes back with, you know, a master spreadsheet and a fully staffed team or fully trained team. And you're absolutely right. That's definitely something we didn't have in the past. And so it is really interesting and really exciting in that way to be able to take an idea from, you know, really concept to launch in 7 days.
And then you never know when this thing passes and it shall pass. This might be another offering that just adds, you know, another tool in your toolkit moving forward.
You're right. You're right. And that is something that we're spending some real time thinking about. You know, no matter what, when this passes, our business will look different. It just will. We are thinking about, you know, not only how can we kind of, you know, fill this gap until we get back to, you know, work kind of doing the thing that we normally do. But is there a possibility for this to kind of extend even beyond, and to, you know, kind of strengthen the business and strengthen kind of, you know, our team, you know, even beyond. And, you know, one thing that's pretty interesting about all of this is the business Sifted as a core is B2B. We sell to other businesses. We service other businesses. Granted, we serve our lunches to, you know, end consumers, but they're not necessarily the buyer. This is a very different experience for all of us where this really is a B2C, you know, consumer focused business. And so for this core team, we're learning a lot of things we did not know a week ago. And so from that perspective, you know, we're also trying to be, to really recognize just our privilege in this space and to recognize that we do have, you know, a highly energetic team who's kind of willing to take on these challenges and learn new things. And I think it will just go to benefit us all, you know, individually and collectively so that when, you know, we're able to welcome back all of our part-time, hourly and our full-time hourly staff, you know, right now who are not working with us because we don't have any work for them, Sifted as kind of a core business will be even stronger.
Well, if somebody wants to learn more about the new offerings, where can they find more information?
Yeah, absolutely. So siftedprovisions.com and then siftedkitchen.com. And then just our regular Sifted website is sifted.co.
And then if they go to CIFSA.co, is there information about the other things on that website, or are they, the only way you find them is through, individually through the URLs you mentioned?
There isn't. As I just said that, I realized, oh, we probably should update that website. So as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to give our director of marketing a call.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Kimberly. And it sounds like you're doing as best you can under these circumstances that we're all kind of dealing with and kind of trying to reinvent ourselves to this kind of new world we're in today, but knowing that we're all going to get through this. And who knows, there might be some silver linings for some of us when we get to the other side of this.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.